This is the Word of God found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look at the emphasis of each of these phrases. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When I read the word heart in this context, it makes me think of emotions and feelings. We're to emotionally, at a deep and feeling level, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The next phrase, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Understanding in this context makes me consider thinking. So, on an emotional level, we're to trust in God, and we're not to lean to our own thinking. Now, this doesn't mean thinking is bad. I want to talk about that a little more. But it's not what we are to lean on. It's not what we're to lean unto. It's not what we're to depend on. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. What are our ways? Well, that's our actions, including the words we use, but the actions. So we've got feelings, thoughts, and actions. Our feelings are to be emotionally confident, trusting in the Lord. Our thoughts are to be active, and we're supposed to think, but we're not to lean unto our own understanding. And then in all our ways, that is in our actions, our way of life, the things we do, we're to acknowledge, that is to give thought and credit and honor unto him, unto God. And the promise is, and he shall direct thy paths. Wouldn't that be great if you could know that the path that you were taking, even though you couldn't see the end of it, even though sometimes you might not see the point of it, we're being directed by the Lord who loves you better than you love yourself. Now, when the Lord directs your paths, it doesn't mean everything will be pleasant. Think of how many times David had to run from Saul. And think of how many times the Apostle Paul ended up in prison. Think about how many times Noah had to walk around and feed animals in the ark. Think about the Apostle John, exiled on the island in the middle of the Mediterranean for the Word of God. Doesn't mean life will always be pleasant and that things will come out the way that you might think you want them to if they're being directed by the Lord. But this is what it does mean. If your paths are directed by God, if the Lord is directing your path, then that means what you come upon in your journey through this life on earth will be glorifying to him, will be beneficial to others, and it will be edifying to you. And even if you encounter trials such as David and Paul and Noah and John did, even if you come upon those challenges, like think of the book of Job, the latter end will be blessed. So that is something that I want, and I expect that's something many of you want. You want the Lord to direct your paths. You want to hear the voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, if we're going to have that, what do we need to do? We need to deal with our emotions, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We need to deal with our thinking, lean not to thine own understanding. We need to deal with our actions. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Now, I don't know about you, but the easiest of those for me to actually correct, the easiest of those three for me to actually change is my actions. Perhaps you're that way too. I don't know. You know, thoughts are sometimes, they're easier than feelings to control. You know, sometimes your thoughts go astray. Sometimes I'll be bowed down to try to pray, and then all of a sudden I'll catch myself, why are you thinking about that? You're supposed to be thanking God or presenting your petitions to Him or interceding for somebody. Why all of a sudden are you thinking about that your oil needs changing in the car or something like that? Why are your thoughts going astray? Well, that happens to me sometimes. But I'll tell you what's the hardest of all for me to change. My feelings. Can you do that? Can you be at a time when you're just really sad and down and then all of a sudden say, I shouldn't be sad and down. I'm just going to make myself be happy. Be happy. And all of a sudden you're happy. Can you do that? I very rarely, if ever, can do that. I just don't have that much control over my feelings. And I have a little bit more, but still not very good control over my thinking. But do you know what? I do have a little more ability to change and correct my actions. And if I do that, I find that my thinking is better and my feelings are better as well. That is, if I'm really down, if I'm just really sad and I'm encountering that, if I will go help somebody else, or if I will, for me, go have myself a good workout, or I'll put on some encouraging music or something, if I take an action that I know is a good action, an action that acknowledges the Lord, then it will help the way I think and the way I feel. So let's look at each of these. We start with the feelings. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That is a feeling. With all your heart, have confidence, have trust in God. Can you just make yourself do that? I have a hard time just bringing up that feeling in my heart of that trust. Now, if you look through the Bible, I don't find any scriptures really at all that tells you to trust in anybody else. I'm not a very trusting person. Deliberately, don't put your trust in man, the scripture says. So, just looking in scripture, Bible tells me not to be a trusting person except in God. Except in God. Why, there's some of the scriptures that are so clear on this, so strong on this. If I look in the book of Micah, the end of that scripture, verse 5, Micah 7, starting with verse 5, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Don't trust people. Trust God. You say, well, wait a minute. Isn't loving part of trust? No. You can love people without trusting them. I mean, does God love us? Yes, with an everlasting love. Loved us so much He gave us His only begotten Son. So does He love us? Yes, with a mighty everlasting love. You think God trusts us? I don't think He trusts us at all. As a matter of fact, I think that's why we need grace, is God knows that it's not that man not only is not able to do anything for his own redemption, he's not willing. He's unable to redeem himself. He's unable to help with his own redemption. He's unable to accept redemption if it's offered to him. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. So God's love is a love that is not based on trust. And yet, when somebody is loved of God, and they begin to love Him because they first loved Him, because He first loved them, then they begin to become more Christ-like, and you run into scriptures such as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, "I rejoice, brethren, that I have confidence in you in all things." A person becomes more worthy of the confidence of others as he becomes more Christ-like. But God's love is not based on trust in us, but rather in His confidence in His Son and the work that is done. Salvation is all by grace. So when it comes to this trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, that you emotionally trust in God, that you emotionally, in your feelings, have confidence in God. Can you make yourself do that? I wish I could. But when it comes to trusting, you know, even though He's kept every single promise, it's still hard to arrive at that feeling. How am I going to do that? Well, I need to acknowledge Him in all my ways. That will build trust. That will have me looking at His promises and His track record of how He's kept His promises and how He's led me through hard times. And that will help my feelings. Now, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There's the emotional level. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Now we're going to talk about the intellectual level. We're going to talk about your mind as well. Understanding is a good thing. I mean, look at the verse 4 just above this. Let me read verse 3 to make a complete sentence. It says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." There is a really good thing, good understanding. Look at verse 13, same chapter. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Understanding is something to be gotten. It's something to be treasured. It's not something to lean upon when it's your own understanding. And that's the distinction. Let me read one more. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Understanding is a good thing to have. Wisdom is a good thing to have. With all you're getting, get understanding. And wisdom ought to have the viewpoint of God. What a treasure for me to be able to look at things the way God looks at things. Because you know what? The way God looks at things are the way things really are. Today, we live in a society which is overwhelmed with what our president calls fake news. It is just hard to tell what's what, what's true, what's factual. The fact checkers are not even very reliable. You look at websites and media facilities dedicated to fact checking, and those are not reliable. How do you know what's true? How do you know what is? Through wisdom, through having God's viewpoint. And you know, God's generous with that wisdom. "He that lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not." You want to know how things really are? Then pray unto God for His wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above, and God will give you liberally. And He won't upbraid you. That is, He won't rebuke you for not having wisdom earlier, for not asking for it earlier. He's not going to tear you up and upbraid you. Now, God does upbraid. His children for some things. Go read Mark chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ there, after He was risen again, He met with His disciples and He upbraided them. He tore them up. You know why? Because they didn't believe the report of those who had seen Him risen from the dead. After He had told them, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be arrested by the scribes and the priests. I'm going to be mocked of the Gentiles. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put to death. I'm going to rise again the third day. I don't know how many times He told His disciples that, but He told them in advance. And then on the third day after His crucifixion, the women came to the disciples and said, "The tomb is empty. We saw Him. We saw Him alive." And their words seemed unto the disciples as idle words. They believed them not. So when the Lord Himself appeared to His disciples, He upbraided them. He rebuked them. He criticized them. And you know what? They deserved it. But if after a long period of living in a way that's not very wise, you made a lot of mistakes, if you committed a lot of sins, you in love and humility go before the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't deserve it. But would You give me wisdom? Would You help me see things the way You see them, Lord? Would You help me see things the way they really are? Would You give me Your gentle, pure wisdom?" The Lord gives it liberally. That doesn't mean He's politically progressive. That means He's generous. I'll tell you what. That's what bothers me about political liberalism. It's not generous. It's a matter of taking something from somebody else and give it to somebody different in order to accrue power unto yourself. Real generosity takes things that you possess and gives them in love to somebody else. Political liberalism is totally different from scriptural liberalism. Progressivism and leftism is nothing at all like Bible generosity and compassion. Nothing at all. The matter of redistributing the possessions of one person to another is in many ways and in many applications very evil. But taking what God has blessed you with and in love helping somebody else, why, that is godly. That is good. That is Bible liberal. And when you ask God for wisdom, He gives liberally, and He upbraids not. Therefore, we read scriptures like Proverbs 4:7, where it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." How do you get it? You just heard. You ask of God. "Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Understanding is a good thing to get. It's a good thing to have. It is not a good thing to lean on. If you lean on your own understanding, that means you're depending on what you think you know already. And that actually hinders you from getting more. Remember what Brother Edward Cagle used to say? He says, when you think you know all there is to know about something, that's all you're going to know about that subject. Well, that's pretty wise, isn't it? It's pretty practical. That is, if you think you've got a particular area of knowledge mastered, you're not going to learn anymore. You're not going to get anymore. If you lean unto your own understanding, then it's very unlikely that you, with all you're getting, are going to try to get understanding. So lean not to thine own understanding. Understanding's a good thing. But don't lean on it when you have your own understanding. It's kind of like a big old fresh stalk of celery. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing to get. It's a good thing to have. It's good for you. It's helpful. It's, you know, it's got vitamin C and it's got all kind of other minerals and things. It's a great thing to have. But what if you leaned on it like you would on a staff? What if you leaned on a stalk of celery? Well, you're probably going to take a fall. You may injure yourself. It's like understanding. It's a good thing to get. It's a good thing to have. It's not a good thing to lean on. So, what do we do here intellectually? Here you're trying to get wisdom. You're trying to ask God to give you His wisdom, His viewpoint. You're trying to get understanding. That is so you can understand some foundational matters. You're trying to see how things come about, how they work. But when you get to the point where you say, okay, I don't need any more information. Lord, I don't need to follow your direction. I don't need your word. I think I understand things. That's like you're putting your weight on a stalk of celery. You're leaning unto your own understanding. And that's not the way to use your mind. Use your mind to get understanding. Use your mind to have understanding. But you know what you want to lean on? Do you know what you want to depend on? You want to depend on the Lord and His Word. You want to be in a very careful manner, open-minded, but test everything that you learn or encountered against the flawless Word of God as found in the Bible. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, prove all things. That's pretty scientific, isn't it? That's open-minded. Prove all things means test all things. You know, today there's a common statement that people use with regard to climate change and all these quack scientific theories people are coming up with lately. And the statement is, believe the science. As if a consensus of educated men come up with things, you're supposed to believe it as if they were priests. But you know, a real scientist, it's a matter of hear the science and test it scientifically. I mean, good science presents a scientific model based on an observed data. And as you encounter other data and other phenomena, you test your particular hypothesis and your particular model, your particular formula, whether it's force equal mass time acceleration or energy equals mass time the speed of light squared or energy equals the frequency of an emission times the constant here. No matter what the formula is, Schrodinger's equation, whatever you're encountering there, you test additional observed phenomena to see if they fit within that model. So you learn science, you test science, you use science to benefit from, but believe the science. I'm sorry. I'm not going to just take the consensus of a bunch of people because they have degrees. I want them to prove that it works. And if their particular theory is not observable and repeatable, then I'm going to hold it in special doubt until it bears itself out. But God has given us something that is infallible. Never been proven wrong. Archaeology checks it out. Human affairs check it out. Structures of governments, check it out. All of these things, the Bible never has failed. Prove all things. Listen to things. Test it. Hold it in consideration. Bring it to this Word. See if it fits within the teaching of the Bible. If it does, it's good. Hold it fast. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Part of the reason we suffer as individuals, and the society suffers collectively, is we keep advancing these theories that are not proven, they're not scriptural, and we keep enforcing them as if they were, and then we just change them in a few years as if they never did exist. You find the culture is so changeable. Don't live that way. Be open-minded. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Lean not on thy own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You want to get understanding? That's great. You have understanding? That's good. What are you going to depend on? The Word of God. The Word of God. Why? Because I say so like a priest? Because I say so because I've been ordained? Because I say so because of a religious leader? No. You check it out yourself. Read the Bible. Test it out. Try to live according to it and see if you're not blessed. What do I mean by blessed? You're going to be rich and never get sick? No. See if you're not guided with real wisdom that it does check out in human affairs and in everlasting truths. Trust in the Lord with thine own, with all thy heart. There's an emotional level here that we should have that we're trying to get to, where even emotionally, deep within us, we got confidence in God. Isn't that a peace and a rest with you? When you think about all we're going through right now, all the challenges we face, and even if we negotiate all these challenges fine, and our loved ones are doing well, and we can pay our bills, and our health for the time is good, we're facing death at the end of all of it. Some people are not. Some people are struggling to pay bills. Some people are facing terrific health problems. Some people's relationships are shattered. Some people can't find a job, and death is still at the end of it. Brothers and sisters, no matter how good this life on earth is, at the end of it, we're going to die. Wouldn't it be great to have such an emotional confidence in the God of the universe that you can say, even when I die, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Do you know why it's going to be all right? Because this is the God that raises the dead. This is the God who by grace gives life everlasting. And because this God, unworthy though I am, loves me and has given His grace to me, I have a great hope I'm going to live forever too. So no matter how good this life may be on earth, no matter how bad this life may be on earth, it's not home. And the good life that God by grace gives us is everlasting. When you get to that point emotionally, down deep in you, that you trust in the Lord, do you know what kind of a peaceful and courageous person that makes you? I'm not saying I'm there. I'm saying that's where I want to be. I want to have my emotions set so that I trust so implicitly, so deeply on the living God that I am at peace with life and not afraid of death. Can I just do that? Can I just make myself feel that? No. No. So what am I going to do? All right, let's move to a realm that's a little bit easier to change. The way I think. Lean not unto mine own understanding. Okay? I need to quit putting my weight on this stalk of celery. I need to put my weight on something reliable. So whatever I get with understanding, I bring it to the Bible and test it. Find if what I understand fits the Scripture. If it does, I've got something good. I'm going to hold fast to that which is good. All right, that making my thinking right will help my emotions, but that's not the end of it. Just to get my thinking right and learn things that are so, to learn things that are true, get my understanding, that's still not going to impact the emotions in the way that I need it to. I need to, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That is, in my actions, I need to acknowledge God. I need in my actions to show that I'm thinking about God, that I am grateful to God, that I am trying the best I can in my feeble way to honor God in my actions. Now, my actions are the easiest part of my life to control. Easier than trying to change my emotions, easier than trying to change my thinking. If I, in my actions, act correctly, that will help me to, if I'm reading the Scriptures, to think correctly, and then that will help me to feel and trust correctly. So in all my ways, that is in your actions, today, what you're doing, those of you that are gathered, those of you that are listening, you are by your action hoping that you will hear the gospel preached and the word of God, and so you're acknowledging that the God of heaven and earth does reign over the universe, and I want to learn more about him. So I'm coming there and I'm listening. I'm acknowledging him. When you go to a restaurant or you're alone in your home and you have a meal and you sit down to your bowl of soup and your pile of crackers and your glass of water and your cup of tea, and there nobody's watching, or else 100 people in the restaurant are watching, if you bow your head and quickly thank God, "Lord, thank you for feeding me," you're acknowledging that the King himself is served by the field. What I have comes from a farm somewhere, comes from an animal that gave its life, comes from the sunshine that gave energy for photosynthesis, comes from the nutrients in the soil, comes from the things that God has put within the universe. And now here I am. I have my bowl of soup and pile of crackers, and I've got my cup of tea, and I'm sitting here, and it will nourish my body in ways I don't even understand. I'll eat the same thing, and if I need some repairs for a bone cell, God has put something within the function of life to go repair a bone cell. If I need to generate more red blood cells, there's something about that that enables the food to support that, to repair nerve cells, to do whatever needs to be done for the body to continue. How is it the same loaf of bread is able to support all of those different tissues and cells and major organs? How is it able to do that? Because of God's wisdom in putting life inside. But when you bow and you give thanks to God for your food, that's one way you're acknowledging him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. When you come here on Sunday mornings to acknowledge him, when you bow and give thanks to God for your food, when on a daily basis you open his word, you acknowledge, "I think there's value in this, Lord. I think you've given it. I think this is a special blessing, and I want to read it." When you forgive somebody that has hurt or offended you, you're acknowledging that you've been forgiven your sins. You're acknowledging God in that, that he's a God of forgiveness. And as he forgives his children who have sinned against him, so his children are to be godly by forgiving those that have trespassed against them. That's part of acknowledging God. When you go and you work at your job, not in order just to get ahead by other people seeing how good a job you do, but you work as if you were working for the Lord. And so regardless of whether you've got a great boss or you've got a jerk for a boss, whether you've got a huge amount of pay or whether you've got just barely enough to get by on, regardless of what it is, when you work as if you're working for God, you know what you're doing? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. When you're about to tear somebody up and cuss them out, and you hold your tongue, and you speak wisely, maybe you let them know in a short, clear, wise way that they've hurt you, they've offended you, but you don't rip them apart, you don't upbraid them. The reason you do it is not because you don't feel like it, it's because you are asking God to put a watch upon your tongue, which you can't control yourself, but he can. Then you are, in all your ways, acknowledging him. In all your ways. In your work. In your entertainment. In your relationship with your family. In your worship. In your meals. In whatever you do. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will that do? That will help your thinking to be right. You'll lean unto his understanding, not to your own understanding. That will help your trust to be right. You won't trust in man. You'll trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you know what else? He shall direct thy paths. What a great promise. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Have that emotional mindset. Lean not to thine own understanding. Have that intellectual position. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Let your actions and words be acknowledging of God. Think of what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he went to the cross. There was a scribe that asked him the question after many temptations. The scribe said, Lord, what is the first of the commandments? And Jesus Christ said, the first of the commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. There's that innermost life, with all thy heart and soul. There's that intellectual mind, that intellectual life. Love him with all thy mind. And then in all thy ways acknowledge him. Love him with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the instruction of the one who went to the cross for us. When we didn't trust in God. When we wouldn't trust in God. This is the one who went to the cross for us when every man leaned on his own understanding. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. That is, the human race leaning on its own understanding is what leads to death. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve leaned on their own understanding. God told them, don't take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they were tempted by the devil, who flatly contradicted that, saying that in that day they would not surely die. When Eve saw the tree, that the fruit thereof was pleasant and good to the eyes, it's good for food, she took thereof, and she did eat, and she gave unto her husband with her. Adam was right there, and he did eat. Oh, the eyes of them both were opened. After all, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But all they had known up to that point was good. You know what they gained the knowledge of? Evil. They gained the knowledge of evil. There, all of a sudden, they were leaning unto their own understanding. And they died. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Well, when that was the way of the human race, the Lord Jesus Christ still came to earth to die for his people. When they wouldn't trust God, when they didn't understand, yet he came down and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he went to the cross of his own will. And he was crucified, and in the hours there that he hung upon the cross, as darkness covered the earth, he paid for every single sin of every single elect child of God chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And he paid for them until they were completely paid for. And God's justice toward all of the people chosen in Christ was satisfied. Justice was done completely. The sins were paid for. When it comes time for the lake of fire, there's going to be a huge number of people like the stars of the sky who will not be judged according to their works, because their works have already been judged and their sins paid for in Jesus Christ. They will be judged according to his work, which is love and perfection in the sight of God. Let your emotional life be a good one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let your intellectual life be a good one. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Let your actions be good ones. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. And here's a great promise. And he shall direct thy paths. How good it is to have the living God who knows the end from the beginning, who loves us better than we love ourselves, who loves us better than any other human being loves us. How good it is to have him direct our paths into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Dear God, thank you for loving us when we didn't trust. when we didn't understand, when we didn't deserve it. Thank you, dear God, for your abundant grace in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of life everlasting in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, help us in all our ways to acknowledge you. Dear God, help us to rise up thinking about you. Help us, Lord, to think about you in our prayers before we lay down at night. Help us to think about you when we enjoy the meals that you've given us. Think about you, Lord, when we put on the clothes that you've enabled us to have. Think about you, Lord, when we gather with loved ones that you've set in our lives. Oh, God, help us in all our ways, in all our actions, in all our words to acknowledge you. Dear God, direct our paths. Direct us into closer fellowship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Direct us into closer fellowship, Lord, with one another. Let that fellowship be based on you and what we've been able to see and experience about your Son. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Help us to forgive others. Thank you for those that are gathered here today. Thank you for those that are watching online. Help us, Lord, to be bold and humble and be of good courage. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.